whose idea of foreplay included sucking on my arteries. My body jerked to attention. Damn it. I was a wolf. And yet the idea of her lips pressed against my pulse. The feel of my teeth digging into her flesh had such a dizzying effect on my equilibrium. I tripped over the carpet and nearly face-planted against the black leather couch. Vampires. I was halfway between paranoia and bloodlust. At least that was what it felt like. This crazed need to run up the stairs and do something unthinkable. What the hell makes any of my family think I am able to control myself without someone watching my every move? Maybe that was part of their plan. Nobody was here to stop me. Nobody but me. Hell, I'd be better off chained in the basement. My thoughts perked up. Now, that was actually a solid idea born out of necessity to keep my body, my tongue, my mouth, from the one woman who would take it all, and refuse to give it back. I'd be lost to myself. She'd be lost to me. And I didn't know how to be an us anymore. Maybe I never had. I'd been a horrible mate to begin with. What sort of mate dreamed about other women? I'd loved my human mate, but she had been frail. I'd been in a constant state of fear whenever we joined. Fear that I would kill her with a flick of my wrist because I wasn't cautious enough. It would be difficult to injure a vampire. I shook the thought when a knock sounded at the door. My ears strained to hear what was on the other side. Heartbeat, rapid, even breathing. I sniffed the air and then rolled my eyes as I jumped over to the door and jerked it open. Timber grinned at me with white teeth and creepy blue eyes. Just checking up on my old friend. I almost slammed the door in his face. We have never been friends. He took a step over the threshold and spread his arms wide. Fine. Cassius said that you are going to lose your mind and either kill a vampire or screw one. Had to see so for myself. Hate demons. I muttered under my breath as I made my way back to the living room to my pacing, to my torture. Timber spread his massive body out on the couch and let out a pleased sigh. Is she pretty? He sniffed the air. She smells pretty. My hand was on his throat before I could stop myself, squeezing with the intention of a good kill. Blood, though demon blood tasted like ass. I wondered if Timber's would be any different, since he'd been saved by Alex's mate, the last remaining elf and only immortal able to give life back to the damned. I felt my fangs elongate as my mouth filled with saliva. Dark hair fell across Timber's sculpted face as confusion replaced his smile. Have you looked in a mirror recently? Why do people keep commenting on my body? I growled, releasing his throat and closing my hand into a tight fist as my talons shoved back into my fingertips like they hadn't just been clawing out and itching to rip flesh. Timber didn't even rub his neck. He merely examined me again, like I was a complicated puzzle that needed solving. At the risk of being choked again. His eyebrows shot up. You're... other. Other? I repeated. What the hell does that mean? Without warning, he lashed out with one hand and slammed me across the face so hard, all I saw was blood. All I wanted was his death. He jerked away and jumped behind the couch laughing. Well, well, well. Now I know why Cassius wanted me to check on you. You're a ticking time bomb, aren't you? I'm not a bomb. I'm a wolf. I pointed out the obvious, hoping to deflect more questions that I didn't know how to answer. Likewise, I could hear the whoosh of blood in his body as it pumped from his heart to his extremities. And why, if I looked close enough, I could hear the whisperings of the blood as it communicated with the rest of the body. Timber stopped walking and turned, looking over his shoulder. "You should feed before it becomes impossible to control." I rolled my eyes. Got that covered. Had enough berries to make a fat bear happy. And I'm hunting later. Hunting? This seemed to perk him up. You do realize it's illegal to hunt humans. Humans? I laughed. I'm hunting for pine cones. He pressed a hand to his forehead, as if I was giving him a headache. Pine cones. He nodded. Yeah, let me know how that works out for you. And remember what I said. You need to feed. He tapped the side of his neck. Preferably not on me when I piss you off again. You wish, I spat. He winked. You have the jaws of a kitty cat wolf. I imagined it would tickle. I moved to him. He stumbled back and then gave his head a shake. Go away, I said mentally. Just go. He shook his head again and then narrowed his gaze on me. Careful with those thoughts, wolf. I blinked in confusion. My thoughts? This is going to be a shitstorm. He mumbled more to himself than to me. Feed. Mate. And join the ranks in helping us fight those who watch. He pointed a finger at me. In that order. The ones who watch are behaving. I sighed. For now. Timber groaned. You know nothing, wolf. We have 10 of the ancient fallen angels running around a modern-day society with all of its temptations. And you think the problem will lessen? You do realize that the originals stood on a mountain for years, simply watching life happen rather than participating in it. And you think that they're just going to listen to us, even though we freed them. That they'll give up the power they have here. He spread his arms wide. Look around you. They would be considered gods. Blasphemy, I spat. Immortals were placed here to protect humans from that very thought. The council... Exactly. Timber agreed. The council is out fighting a war we can't win unless we stick together. Hell, I have Alex's wife out with me restoring demon souls in alleyways. All of this, while you stare at your pathetic little pine cones and focus on all the things that have gone wrong in your life and all the reasons for your inability to actually live. You know, he clenched his teeth, you want to die so bad. You feel so bad about yourself. Ask Cassius to end you. Better yet, ask the one to take your soul. You're a shell of a wolf. A shell of a man. And not worth another wasted breath. He flipped me off and slammed the door behind him. I stood there, stunned. Shame came swiftly. Because the demon was right. I'd helped save Alex. I'd help save Hope after Alex begged me, but only because she was my friend. The mindless humans milling around the world had no idea what was coming. And frankly, I didn't care. Because I was hurting. Because I was afraid of myself. Afraid to even look in the damn mirror and see the signs that everyone else had been seeing for the past 2 days. I shook with the memory of her bloody body, and when my tongue touched the blood in an effort to heal, a booming voice screamed in my head, "Awaken!" Maybe the monster wasn't outside the house. Maybe I was the monster. Maybe I was the one they should fear.
Chapter 9. Serenity. I was either losing my mind or Mason was outside howling at the moon. In a tangle of sheets, I finally got out of bed and walked over to the window. He was standing in the same worn jeans as before, only this time he was completely barefoot as the moon cast a silver glow over his face. It was as if he was growing before my very eyes. I was no wolf expert, but even I knew that they stayed the same size throughout their immortal lives. Wolves didn't grow with age. And yet he was definitely increasing in girth. This morning he'd been at least 2 inches shorter than when he'd brought me his steak. His biceps, while impressive before, now stretched and strained against his skin as if they were dying to break through. The night air blew his hair across his sharp cheekbones. Every inch of skin was just barely containing an arsenal of muscle that was so impressive it was hard to look away. I gulped out a, "Wow." Mason's head jerked up to the window. I completely froze. His dark eyes locked on mine and then very slowly lightened to an ice blue. Another wolf trick I'd never seen before, not that I hung out in their packs. He started walking back toward the house. I could feel my heart in my throat as his heavy footsteps gave way up the stairs and finally down the hall until the door to my room was shoved open and he ducked inside. His shaggy hair was kissing his shoulders as he made his way toward me slowly, cautiously, as if I was the danger, not him. Muscles stretched across his abdomen and stomach, glistening with a sheen of sweat. I gulped and then whispered, "I didn't mean to interrupt whatever you were doing. I heard you." He frowned.
"Heard me."
I felt so stupid. Howling. He cracked a smile.
"It's not called howling. It's called singing."
I squinted up at him. "But it sounds like a howl." He smiled a bit more, making me feel warm inside instead of afraid, lonely.
"To a vampire it sounds like a howl, a protective intimidation technique. It sounds the same to humans. But to angels, the stars, or our own packs, it sounds like..."
He looked lost in a dream as his face broke out into a smile.
"It sounds like the song of salvation."
"Is it always the same?"
"Always."
He shrugged.
"The howl, as you call it, was passed down to the immortal wolves, a gift from our creator, a way to create protection over our packs and young while giving him the glory for it in the first place. It is our cry to return to the stars, our thanks. It's the story of our beginning and the eventual story of our end."
He looked down, his eyes closing.
"It has been a long time since my song has joined others."
I reached out, thought twice about it, then just soldiered forward and pressed a hand to his arm, then squeezed. "Why?" He looked down at my hand, confusion marring his brow before he placed a hand on top of mine, and then very slowly ran his thumb across my skin. I shivered.
"I am their leader, but I found I couldn't lead the way I needed to when my mate died. I left my second in command. It is better that way."
I closed my eyes and listened as his blood roared to life beneath my touch, almost as if it was attempting to escape his body and join with mine. I'd never felt another person's blood call so strong, like an invisible tether beneath the skin just waiting to latch on. As the silence stretched, I was able to focus more and more. The blood started to chant, "King, king, king," like before. He stopped brushing his thumb over my skin. I opened my eyes just as one last chant fell from the blood. "Yours." He removed his hand and pulled away, his eyes searching mine with intensity I hadn't been prepared for.
"What did you hear, vampire?"
"King," I said honestly. "Your blood says king." He jerked his head away, his eyes focused in on the moon again as if it would help him with the heaviness that he carried with him like a battle scar.
"What else?"
"What makes you think there's more?" I asked cautiously. He gulped.
"Nothing."
He shook his head.
"It's nothing. You should sleep. I'll check on you later."
"Wait." He turned on his heel.
"Yes?"
"Can I maybe go downstairs and watch a movie or something? I'm going a little stir-crazy up here." I knew it was a long shot, The guy liked to be alone, and apparently howling at the moon was his favorite pastime. I waited. He eyed me up and down, then bit firmly on his bottom lip before tucking his hair behind his ears in obvious irritation.
Fine.
It was more of a bark than an actual word, but I was taking what I could get when it came to him, and I was desperate to leave my bed. Besides, I had an entire season of Outlander to watch. I'd just been getting started on the last season when I'd fallen asleep and then somehow been attacked as I'd been searching for the man who'd called to me. I shivered and followed Mason out of the room, slowly measuring each step as a wince of pain rocked through me with each movement. I would do anything for Blood. Blood would fix this. Blood would make me feel better. I felt my vision blur just as Mason's strong arms wrapped around me. Why hadn't they at least offered Blood? Ethan was one of the oldest vampires in the world. He had to know I needed Blood. Why hadn't any of that occurred to me before? Mason grunted and placed me on a soft leather couch, then pointed to a blanket.
Genesis calls it a throw. I don't know why the hell a blanket of fur is called a throw, but regardless, if you get cold, you can use it.
I wanted to remind him that vampires rarely got cold when another tremor racked my body, reminding me yet again that my vampire side hadn't been itself ever since Mason had licked me. "Is Ethan here?" I asked in a small voice. He full-on glared.
"Why would you need Ethan? He's mated."
"What does that have to do with anything?" I said in annoyance. "I just figured since he's a vampire, he'd know my..." I stopped short when Mason pounced in front of me and grabbed my chin between his fingers.
"Needs? You think he can measure your needs? Am I doing such a horrible job?"
"You're angry," I whispered, tears filling my eyes. "Why are you angry?" His nostrils flared.
"Am I not doing a good enough job for you? What else could you possibly need? I fed you. I gave you a blanket. I made you comfortable and I healed your scars."
Each word came out louder than the next until his body was humming with barely pent-up aggression. I instinctually tried to pull away. He just held on to me tighter.
"What do you need?"
he repeated. "Blood." I felt shame. I didn't know why. Maybe it was because I felt weak and I hated it. Maybe another part of me didn't want to seem dependent. But it was a way of life, and it was what helped give me life. He dropped my chin immediately and staggered backward. You'd have thought I'd just told him the boogeyman existed and was living in my head. "Mason?" He shook his head and then bit back a curse so loud that my ears rang before he stomped away, and from the sounds of it was breaking things in the kitchen. Tears overflowed my eyes until I heard him coming back. I quickly wiped my cheeks and tossed the blanket over my body, not only so I looked like I was comfortable, but also to put a barrier between us. Like a fur blanket would do anything if he wanted to pounce. I was a weak little lamb compared to his bear-like stature.
"Here."
He thrust a glass in my direction, causing some of the contents to slip over the edge and onto his hand. Blood. He looked down, his breathing heavy.
"Take it, damn it."
I grabbed the glass before it spilled, noticing how his hand shook as blood dripped down his fingertips. His eyes flashed blue again, and then he was bracing himself against the mantel on the fireplace. I was afraid he was going to break it in half.
"Drink,"
he urged in a gravelly voice that didn't sound at all like him. It sounded more beast than man. I chugged the blood, gulp after gulp. Its tang was like thick tonic to my soul as it healed me from the inside out, knitting things back together that had been broken and numbing the pain that had been debilitating for 2 days. I carefully placed the glass on the table. "I'm done." He exhaled and turned, his blue eyes locked onto mine.
"How did it taste?"
His voice was still animalistic by nature, his eyes crazed. If I hadn't known better, I'd have thought he was aroused, which should have terrified me. Instead, I felt hot all over as his gaze raked up and down the blanket as if he could view me beneath, see my skin. "Good." The word finally tumbled from my blood-stained lips. "It tasted good, thank you." He inclined his head and eyed the glass. "Did he want it?" I frowned at him. He shook his head and then grabbed the remote and tossed it on the couch.
"Go wild."
He started to walk off.
Wait!
Why was I calling the monster back into the room again?
Where is everybody?
He stiffened.
The council is out on official business for a few days. It's just you and me.
I couldn't help the gulp, just like he probably couldn't help the look of pain that flashed across his face as he glanced at me in the glass again.
So stay and watch Outlander? I offered.
Outwater?
He repeated.
Is that a movie?
I gasped in outrage. It's only the best show on TV.
American Ninja Warrior is the best show on TV, he argued. Damn, Ethan won't even let me try out.
I covered my mouth with my hand to keep the laughter in.
You would either kill the contestants or be too heavy for the obstacles.
His head whipped in my direction.
Did you just call me fat?
My eyebrows shot up. The only fat part of your body is probably your head.
Thank you.
Sarcasm was apparently lost on him as he took the compliment and then let out a little half-bark, half-laugh.
You called me a fathead.
His smile grew.
Vampires. So mature.
Hey, you're the one running around throwing temper tantrums and breaking things, then getting angry at me 1 minute and... I gulped as his eyes flashed, then locked onto mine. Shit.
I'm not angry at you,
he finally said, looking away. Then who are you angry at?
Everything else.
He took a seat far away from me and nodded to the television.
Show me this Outlander. I'll decide what's better.
And if it's better? A smirk replaced his scowl.
If it's better, then you win, and I cook you steak again. If it's not better, I win, and you go hunting with me.
Deal. I held out my hand. He stared at it for at least 3 seconds before grabbing it, dwarfed by the size of his hand and giving it a shake. He didn't let go. Instead, he tugged me closer to him until I almost splayed across his lap and then touched his nose to my neck and inhaled. He rubbed his head against mine and spoke softly in my ear.
This is how wolves make bets.
I gulped and whispered hoarsely, Noted.
Chapter 10 Mason. I nuzzled her neck. I was a freak. She smelled. Healed. My nose touched her chin as my mouth watered with the need to pierce flesh. I jerked back and gave my head a shake, my hair whipping against my cheek so hard I probably looked half crazed. Her eyes locked on my mouth. I licked my lips instinctively. Expression dazed, she blinked up at me and then frowned. You smell different. Now I smell. I lightly shoved her away from me. You're not the best at compliments, vampire. I nodded toward the TV. Let's get this over with. I have a hunt to take you on. Her eyes narrowed in on mine before she directed her attention to the set and pressed a button on the remote. Game on. She scooted away from me. I felt the distance in my soul. As if she just put this invisible barrier between our bodies. I sucked in a sharp breath to ease the pain, to help myself calm down. But my blood boiled beneath the surface of my skin. It demanded I pay attention. And just as the screen changed to music, I knew only too well that music reminded me of so many years ago when I was born. I fell into a familiar trance. Take him, my mother screamed. Take him from me. We will be killed for this. My father whispered hoarsely. Nobody must know, not even Sariel. He sees all. Mather wept over my body. Blood. Why was there so much blood? Flashes of light burned my eyes. It was the only way, Morlinen. With a cry, she threw herself over my small body. He'll be stronger than us. He'll be stronger than them all. The light burst through my eyes. What had just been darkness turned to a bright shining sun as heat enveloped my body. I lunged for my mother. My father held me back. I was two. I saw blood red. I felt their pulses. I felt their hearts. I wanted to rip them out with my teeth. Son, father held on to me so tight my lungs burned. You must control the lust. I screamed. I fought him. I just wanted. Son, if you do not control yourself, you will kill everyone you love. You will destroy your life before it even begins. You must learn self-control. I understood the words. Werewolves talked at 1 year old. At 2, we were expected to hunt. I gave my head a shake. A thundering sound pounded my ears, and I covered them with my hands and screamed as the archangel Sariel swept into the tent. He eyed both my parents, and finally me. He is no longer your son. Sariel's eyes went white. He is other. If he stays, he will kill you. He jerked his attention to me. What do you hear?
Blood!
I raged. He pressed a hand to my forehead. And now?
Sleepy,
I yawned. He picked me up into his arms and gave my parents one last look. Your punishment for what you have done. You will stay in this state until he makes his choice.
My baby,
Mather wailed.
Give him back!
Silence! Sariel waved his hands, and immediately no words came from her still-moving mouth. You know the cost of creating.
He is ours.
Dad stood to his full height.
We made a pact to...
I know exactly what you have done. Sariel roared. You have taken matters into your own hands, because you lack trust. Therefore, I will take what is most important to you, before you suffer the consequences of his blood. I didn't understand. I didn't want to. What did they do to me? I felt normal, except for the burning in my lungs, the parched feeling in my mouth. As Sariel carried me away, I saw tears fill my mother's eyes. All I kept thinking was that I would never see them again. I would never know love again. My mom ran after Sariel and handed him a pouch. Inside were berries and pine cones.
We will meet again.
Dad nodded to me.
Be well, son.
My vision faltered. It was my last memory of my parents, of Scotland, of the large castle and the grounds around it where vampires and immortals lived and protected one another. I gasped for air just as the music stopped, and the show started to play before my eyes. It was painful to see the scenery. I could almost smell the heather. I looked away. Turn it off. Serenity frowned.
But it just started.
I said turn it off! I jumped to my feet and kicked the coffee table over. The glass fell to the ground with a shatter, as tiny droplets of blood spread themselves wide over the hardwood. I sucked in a heavy breath as Serenity froze next to me. I could have sworn the world tilted on its axis as I eyed the three drops, not even enough to make a mess. One swipe of a cloth would cause them to disappear. Weak. I was so weak. I rocked back on my heels just as Serenity stood.
I'll clean up.
My wolf howled with outrage. That was what I called it, because I refused to believe that there was something else lurking inside my body, begging to break free. I was bad. A monster. My own mate had told me I was too heavy to lie on her after I'd licked her dry, after I'd pleasured her. If someone who loved me was afraid of me, of the way I looked in the steamy throes of sex, of the way my fangs pointed differently than others of my kind, of the way I asked if I could bite her, begged her even, Then where did that leave Serenity? A stranger. Where did that leave me and my place in the world? I punished myself well for my monsters. I just never realized there would come a day when they wouldn't recede, when they wouldn't listen, when I suddenly wouldn't care if they broke free and destroyed me and everyone else around me. The longer I stayed in that spot, staring at that blood, the longer I thirsted beyond all reason, and the longer I wanted to lick the blood dry, then turn my attention 3 inches down Serenity's neck, where her pulse sang.
Mason.
My name fell like a whisper from her lips.
Calm down.
Never. I clenched my hands into fists as claws started breaking through my skin. Tell a wolf to calm down when he is angry. She pressed a hand to my shoulder. I didn't jerk away. My body instantly calmed. I frowned down at the blood. How did you do that?
Do what?
Make it go away.
I don't understand.
She moved her hand. The rage returned. Adrenaline pumped through my system. Run. I need to run. Before I could think any more about the blood, about her touch, about what any of it meant, I turned on my heel and ran out of the house. Through the trees, picking up speed, until my wolf broke free, until I shed my human skin like one would a Halloween costume, and morphed into a wolf that was the size of a small Honda. I knew what people saw when they viewed my transformation. A black wolf with dark eyes and huge teeth. I made my way to the river, and leaned over to drink my fill. Only, when I saw my own reflection, I did a double take. My fur. It was not black. It was blood red. My eyes black. And as if seeing a stranger for the first time, my wolf self smiled with a secret. Dread threatened to overtake me. I was not in control of myself. I tried to stop smiling. I told myself to look away. I lost.
Chapter 11. Serenity. I didn't think anything of it when Mason didn't return right away. But after 5 hours, I started to get worried. It didn't help that it was getting dark and I was in a strange house all by myself. A house where I wasn't sure I could stay hidden and or protected from whatever had tried to kill me the other night. The more I thought about it, the more I pulled the blanket closer to my body, tempted to throw it over my head as if it could make me invisible. The clock struck 10, nearly sending me off the couch in a fit of fear. I was a vampire for crying out loud. I could hold my own. I just didn't want to have to. And I wasn't exactly in the best practice to do anything, outside of throwing a few punches and running. Besides, I'd had one cup of blood that was quickly leaving my system. Stop being ridiculous, I said to myself literally as the doorbell rang and then the door opened. I froze as the scent of burnt wood invaded my nostrils, only to be replaced by what smelled like campfires and summers spent on the lake. Mason, the deep voice called, and then I was staring into the deepest blue eyes I'd ever seen in my entire life, and trying not to panic over the fact that the strange man looked like a successful male model with a lucrative underwear campaign. Oh, hello, he smiled. I frowned. He looked away and grinned as if he knew the effect he had on people and then tried again with the smiling at me. I'm Timber, and you are? Serenity, I said, lamely staring at his outstretched hand. With a sigh, he left it there just hanging between us. I had no choice but to shake it. His grip was firm. I decided I liked him, even if I didn't want to. It was impossible not to at least be mildly intrigued by his pretty face and apparent good manners. Have you seen the wolf today? No. I took my hand back. But I saw the man about 5 hours ago. He choked out a laugh. Same thing. I was hoping he would be here so I could discuss... He turned. Never mind. Seems the wolf is home. Mason staggered into the living room looking like he'd just gotten in a fight with a semi-truck and lost. Blood caked his fingernails, and his sandy brown hair suddenly looked like it had been dipped in red.
"What the hell happened to you?"
Timber let out a whistle. Mason growled, and then his piercing gaze was on me. His eyes rotated into the back of his head. Timber reached out and caught him just before his forehead slammed into the wall. "Mason?" I ran over to his body and examined the cuts and bruises lining his arms before Timber laid him across the floor and pulled out his phone.
"Something's wrong," he barked into the phone. "Do I look like a veterinarian?"
He rolled his eyes while I cupped Mason's head in my hands. His perfect lips parted just enough for me to see fangs. Werewolves typically had shorter fangs than vampires. It made it easy for them to tear into meat without them getting in the way. They didn't, however, have fangs that elongated past their lower lips. That wasn't right at all.
"What do you mean you have a feeling?" Timber roared. "I'm not going to base this off a feeling."
I ran my fingers over Mason's strong face. Something was horribly wrong. A garbled moan came from his mouth. I leaned closer, pressing my ear to his chest. I just wanted to make sure his heart was beating, that he was okay. I had no idea why I was so worried about a stranger. Maybe because of the way he'd taken care of me? Maybe because his blood still sang for me? Only this time it sounded like it was in agony.
"I'm not so sure that's a good idea," Timber whispered into his phone. "I'll keep her away just in case."
I turned my head to Timber. "Just in case what?" He hung up the phone and then paled, just as teeth pierced my neck.
Chapter 12. Mason.
"Yours," her blood sang. "Mine," I said right back. I was crazed, angry, hurt. I was so many things. And then she pressed an ear to my chest, and my heart thumped with purpose, with new reason. And instinct completely took over. An instinct to claim. An instinct born into me from hundreds of years of trying to do exactly the opposite. I burned for her in a way that made no sense. I pined as if I'd been searching for her my entire life. My body begged. My heart thundered, demanding I give answers I couldn't give, to questions I refused to ask myself, for fear of what I would discover. And I snapped.
"Mason," Timber was yelling. "You're killing her."
Her eyes rolled into the back of her head. Why was Timber angry? Why was she dying? No. No, this couldn't be wrong. Not when it felt so right. So good. I felt her everywhere. In my blood. In my mouth. Coating my fangs. More. I wanted more. To strip her bare. To expose every inch of her to my mouth.
"Let her go."
Cassius' voice shook me from my state. Why was Cassius suddenly there? What was wrong? I'd never experienced such pain as I released her neck and fell to the ground, Serenity falling across me, a bloody mess. I'd done that. I'd put that empty, dazed look in her eyes. Oh, God. I'd hurt her. I hurt everyone. I scrambled backward, my head knocking against the wall, as I tried to swipe the blood off me. But there was so much, and I still wanted it. I wanted all of it. Wasteful. What the hell was wrong with me? Serenity finally came out of her paralyzed state. When she looked at me, it wasn't a look filled with fear. It was a look filled with disgust. I disgusted her. I disgusted myself. This was why I'd been taken from my parents. Why I'd stopped being king. An abomination. A fool. I'm... Damn it. I couldn't even get the words out. My voice sounded all wrong. Gruff. Loud. Like it wasn't me speaking at all. I don't understand. Cassius let out a long, heavy sigh that shook the room with its force before his wings pointed down and then disappeared behind his back.
Timber, take Serenity upstairs.
No! I roared, as if I had a reason to keep her by my side, protecting her, harming her, nearly ending her life. She's... stunned. I tried to erase the word from my mind, from my very existence. Mate. 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 My blood chanted. Hell, I could hear her heart begin to pound. Mine raced right along with her. I just somehow sealed our fates. I should have known all along it would be my lack of control that would do it. I should have known. I closed my eyes. Go.
Mason?
She opened her eyes. Just go. I felt her disappointment in the air, like a crackle of sadness splitting us in two, separating our hearts when all they ever wanted were to be next to each other. I was losing my damn mind. Once Timber and Serenity were gone, Cassius took one look at me and scowled.
You need to be more careful next time.
Tell me I heard you wrong, I snorted. There will be no next time. It was a mistake. I've been having weird... I gulped. Weird cravings.
Cassius sniffed the air. Half lie. More omission than anything. All right. I'll bite.
He grinned at his own joke. I just covered my face with my hands and prayed he'd kill me and get it over with.
How long have you been having these cravings?
Why do you always ask questions you already freaking know the answers to? I roared. His eyebrows shot up.
Alex is yelling. I'm used to. This is new for someone normally so calm, so reserved, so loyal.
He made the word sound dirty. I glared and then flipped him off. The bastard laughed even harder.
I can't wait to tell Ethan.
You aren't telling anyone. I stood to my feet, wobbly, but at least I was standing. This is a one-time slip-up. A mistake,
Why do you think her blood sings to you, Mason?
I ignored the burning truth in my chest. The signs. The monster within. Because I'm a wolf. I stopped eating red meat. Red meat contains blood. Therefore, it's a misplaced craving. There. That sounded good even to me.
You are not what you think you are.
Cassia's sighs went white as a chill overtook the room. Great. Just great. I hated when he went full angel, especially now that I'd tasted blood. Now that I'd messed up so royally, I was most likely going to get struck down or at least punished.
And yet, you're exactly what you think you are. You're just too scared to admit it.
I looked away. I had to. The truth was like a punch to the chest. Blood, mine and hers, covered the floor. Mine, from trying to claw my way from the war with my wolf, the one where I tried to throw myself from a cliff in an effort to take back control. And hers, from my attack. God, I'd attacked her like the monster I was. Like a savage animal. I still tasted her on my lips. Cassius tapped his temple.
Our past can only stay locked up for so long. Don't you ever wonder why your human mate died to begin with?
his wings spread out from his body like tentacles testing the air. You mated with one, because it was how things were done. But your soul has always belonged to another. He disappeared, without judgment, without punishment. And maybe that was the point. I'd already spent an eternity in a prison of my own making. It would be useless to give me another, when I was so good at staying in mine. Until now. I eyed the stairway with hesitancy. The stairs creaked under Timber's weight. I feel like I should stay and watch the show. Take notes. Make popcorn. He teased. But if what Cassius just whispered in the air is true, then I probably don't want to be anywhere near this house for another few weeks. Out. I jabbed my fingers toward the door. He grinned and then shrugged. Maybe if you stopped keeping secrets from your friends and family, you wouldn't lash out and bite the first girl who wants to adopt a puppy. I will rip your throat from your neck with ease, demon. Now leave. He leaned in. After what I saw, I think I believe you. Have fun. He shoved past me. The door slammed. One heartbeat. I counted its rhythm. I told my heart to match it. And the strangest thing happened. It did.
Chapter 13. Serenity. My neck burned. Blood caked my fingertips. I wasn't healing as fast as I normally did, and that thought alone shot every last nerve I had. I could feel his teeth. He hadn't even numbed me. Just tore right in like a complete animal. It was the most terrified I'd ever been in my entire life. And then, pleasure. So much pleasure. His. I felt his arousal through the blood. I felt the rightness of what he was doing, even though he was doing it wrong. He was a messy savage with no restraint. And I loved it more than I should. My heart had soared for his, even as he drained my body. My only thought had been, take your fill. Even if it meant my death. I'd been so disgusted with myself I could barely look at him before Timber took me from the room. The fact that he'd been able to even send me away after tasting for the first time, after experiencing the link between our minds, the crashing rightness I felt between our souls, was a terrifying thought. If he pushed me away, if he left me, my future, that psychotic wolf with bad manners and chef-like tendencies, I wasn't sure my heart would survive. It was already too fragile from my parents. I heard his heart speed up. Mine matched it. And then his scent was everywhere, different from before, sweeter, as if he'd just rolled around in honey and forgotten to shower. Then the spice was back, filling the air with more flavor as I tried to calm my breathing. The door opened. He'd changed into new clothes and wiped most of the blood from his body. His eyes were crystal blue, his feet bare. His low-slung jeans made a noise as they rode low on his hips and pressed against his tan skin while he crossed the room. I licked my lips and finally gained enough courage to speak. So, you, still hungry?
It's not funny.
He ran a hand through his shaggy hair and cursed. I lifted a shoulder. It's sort of funny. Who knew wolves could bite like that? He exhaled and bit down on his lower lip so hard it turned white, and then his eyes were on my neck, darting back and forth with uncertainty.
Let me heal you.
It's nothing. I covered the place with my hand where he'd bitten me and came back with more blood staining my fingertips. I've survived worse.
I doubt it.
He leaned forward, his massive body hovering over me.
Please, Serenity, let me fix this.
His plea hung heavy between us. There would be no fixing what had been done. I leaned forward and pulled my hair over my left shoulder, bravely exposing my gaping wound to his lust-crazed eyes. Bad idea? Maybe. But I stupidly trusted him. Maybe it was the link between us. Maybe I was just a sucker for deep brown eyes that flickered to blue and pierced the air with sensuality unmatched by anyone I'd ever met. Mason leaned forward, his face inches from mine. Maybe that was what had gotten me in this predicament in the first place. My inability to separate the fact that he was both beast and man. And I was easy prey. His tongue very tentatively reached out and slid across the skin near my collarbone, and then higher and higher, and with a moan he swept over the wound. I felt my skin knit together, fused from his healing abilities, and when the pain finally subsided, he rested his head on my shoulder. I ran my fingers through his hair while he picked up my free hand and licked a cut I hadn't realized I had. His tongue felt smooth against my skin. I immediately wanted it in my mouth, pressed against every inch of my body. Even the parts that didn't need healing. With a shudder, I pulled my hand away. He lifted his head, eyes so blue they reminded me of ice. I saw the truth in his eyes. I saw the sentence he didn't want to utter. I wasn't sure if I should be offended, hurt, both. I bit down on my lip, took a gulp of air into my lungs, and whispered, "We're mates." I figured if I said it aloud, it would sound less terrifying. It wasn't. He was a council member, an immortal king. I was a part-time college student with no purpose and no friends outside of school, and the small coffee shop I frequented where Mike, my barista, added extra espresso into my mochas with a side of blood. I kept people at arm's length, because I was afraid that if they got close, the truth would slap me in the face. I wouldn't be enough to make them stay.
"I had a mate," Mason whispered. "Before."
What happened to her? Jealousy flared to life over this nameless, faceless woman who'd shared his heart like mine, who'd kissed his lips and touched his skin. I wanted to rip her face off. Mason tensed next to me.
"It would be easier to tell you the story if you stopped thinking of all the graphic ways you could dismember her."
I gasped. "Werewolves don't read minds."
"Not typically," he sighed. "No."
"How?"
"That's not the story you asked for, and it's not one I know how to tell."
He gave his head a shake.
"She was frail. I always imagined I'd be mated to a warrior, someone who understood my needs, who allowed me to take care of them. And she did all those things. But I always felt fear from her. It made her love feel tainted. It made me feel like I wasn't doing enough to keep her happy, to keep her safe."
His voice cracked.
"We had just found out she was with child when I woke up to find her dead next to me. No explanation, no reasoning. We'd been together so long we'd wrongly assumed that we were safe, that she was safe."
I gasped and covered my mouth with a shaking hand. "I'm so sorry."
"So am I,"
Mason whispered.
"So am I."
He moved and stood in front of me, his blue eyes locking onto me with such intensity I was afraid to breathe.
"When balance was restored, and Ethan married Genesis, a war broke out. A war we cannot fight unless we're at our strongest."
I was afraid of where this was going. My parents said something was coming. They just never said what. They didn't involve themselves with immortal gossip. They thought they were above it.
"Gossip,"
Mason ground out.
"And why do you talk about them like they no longer—"
His eyes searched, found the answer on my face, and then looked away.
"I'm sorry, too. It's a hollow feeling, one that is never quite filled again."
I nodded. "So, what now?" He looked hesitant and then almost embarrassed. "Mason?"
He
jerked away from me so fast the moment shattered. He ran a hand through his shaggy hair and then eyed the door as if it were a narrow escape route he may not make in time.
"I should."
He gave his head a shake, his eyes going from brown to blue, then back again. "Mason?" When I said his name a second time, his eyes stayed a blazing blue. I held my hand out to him. "Mason, are you okay?" He went completely still.
"Don't speak."
I gave him a small nod as he closed his eyes and looked like he tried to breathe with great effort. I didn't want to be afraid. But if he attacked me again, there would be no way to fight it, no way to fight him off, whatever.
"Can't,"
he shuddered.
I can't anymore.
I stood. He held out his hand to stop me. It shook as his fingers snapped and twisted, revealing a giant claw that could rip me in half if I breathed wrong. Mason, listen to my voice. I was basically worthless as a vampire. I was fast, but not fast enough to escape him, and not strong enough to overthrow him. Weak. Is that why they left? Why everyone leaves?
Ever since you came.
His chest heaved.
I have no control.
His teeth snapped together as the muscles in his neck flexed like they were seconds from snapping.
Just stay the hell away from me,
he roared. He jerked the door open, and it went flying behind him, slamming against the wall nearest the bathroom. I took cover as a piece of wood flung in my direction and hit me in the elbow. When I lowered my arms, Mason was gone.
Chapter 14. Mason. I pulled at my hair over and over again, as I walked around outside the house in mindless circles. The craving had lessened in her arms. Licking her had been my everything. And just like that, when the hunger for her had died down enough for me to think, a small voice whispered, "Take." I put up a mental block against that voice, and lost my shit all over the place when it pushed back. The hunger burned, my temper snapping. And I broke a freaking door. I lived by my control. I fed the regulator like a well-tended pet with a schedule. I'd always been in charge of my urges, sexual and otherwise. I kicked a boulder, sending it sailing into a tree, cracking the poor oak in half as it fell against the road. Well, shit. I stomped over and shoved the tree out of the way, as if it was a feather. I was getting physically stronger, sharper, hearing things I had no business hearing, like the music of her blood, her heart calling to me. I fell to my knees. The desire to bite her was just as powerful as the desire to mate with her, to take her from behind. My hands shook as I dug my claws into the earth and braced my body in a hunting position. The more blood I was exposed to, the worse it got, and I could feel her blood mating with mine, swirling around in a dance so ancient that even I didn't know all of the movements. But my blood did. Hers did. It recognized its mate and was rejoicing while simultaneously pumping to all the wrong areas in preparation for the final joining. I scowled as my heart thumped in my chest. If I never completed the mating, it wouldn't matter. She was immortal. She would survive it. I, however, wasn't sure I would. And that is the problem, isn't it? What if she was weak like my last mate? What if she hated me? What if I killed her? So many what-ifs and so many scenarios I didn't understand how to fix or control. I would not risk her. I would not.
You sure pout a lot for a male.
Cassia suddenly appeared next to me. Didn't hear you, I grumbled, still in my protective positioning. He shrugged and looked back at the house.
I brought reinforcements.
Everyone's back.
Alex thought it would be best for Hope to discuss war strategy with Timber. They'll be back later this evening.
I groaned. You didn't have to cut your trip short. The fight between good and evil is more important than my cravings. I gulped. Cassius' eyebrows shot up.
What makes you think your cravings aren't a part of that war, Wolf?
Frowning, I looked down at the same earth I'd sworn to protect, its minerals swirling beneath the surface, kissing my fingertips. I belonged in the dirt, outside. I belonged with what I'd sworn to protect. And yet, I'd abandoned it. This war is better off without me. I'm not that important, Cassius.
It took 1 weak woman to prove that I am nothing.